Do not be afraid. It's just the Nikola Tesla's Night of Terror episode of Doctor Who, next on your Don't Blink podcast from Golden Spiral Media.
This is your Don't Blink podcast, a fan podcast devoted to the BBC series known as Doctor Who. Sharing thoughts, theories, and listener feedback are your hosts, Wayne Henderson and Jada Wilkerson.
I'm Jada Wilkerson, Whovian, comics enthusiast, and well, I guess sometimes people just don't get the American sense of humor.
That's what they say. And we're pleasantly shocked you're here. See what I did there? I'm Wayne Henderson, your voice acting Green Bay Packers fan, and normal would be boring, wouldn't it? On this edition of Don't Blink, we'll review this week's Doctor Who episode, Nikola Tesla's Night of Terror, go over the weekly Twitter and Facebook poll results and comments.
And we share your thoughts and theories. Let your voice be heard and be part of every episode of Don't Blink this season. Call our voicemail, 304-837-2278, or by using our voicemail widget from anywhere in the world at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback every Monday night by 11 p.m. Eastern. So, wow, what an episode. Let's share some of what we like and what we didn't like from Nikola Tesla's Night of Terror. It was a great episode. You know, Wayne, to start off with, I just want to say I really enjoyed the pacing of this episode. It kept going. It didn't slow up. I don't believe that it slowed up anywhere. On top of being a well-written story, I think it had the pacing just right.
Yes, it had a totally different vibe to it. I don't know if it was due to us having a different writer this week. First-time Doctor Who writer Nina Metivier. It was very refreshing also. Then this is probably due to the writing that there wasn't really any blatant pointing out that Yaz and Ryan, quote-unquote, stand out amongst the people in that area in the early 1900s. Mostly they were just pointing out Graham being British, I guess.
Yeah, I know, that's great. Although I'm sure there was, you know, plenty of reason for someone to point them out. They just totally skipped that. I enjoyed that too. It kept the focus on the story and what was going on and didn't sideline us with anything else. I mean, the story was great, and to me, I thought that the fam looked great in those costumes.
Yeah, there's something about that fashion. And they were really decked out. It was reminiscent of one of the later Peter Capaldi episodes where the Doctor and Bill went to that ice fair, frost fair, whatever it was. Similar, maybe even a similar time period. And you can't go wrong with that look. You really can't.
Yeah, they look great.
And for me, it's definitely one of my favorite historical episodes in the last 5 or even 10 years, possibly because of the technology side of things that they dug into. Surprisingly, I didn't know about hardly any of these exciting things that Nikola Tesla was actually working on and dreaming about. How about you, Jada?
No, I've seen a show or two here and there about Tesla and everything, and I find him to be a very interesting man. I probably should do more research and find out more about him. Once again, thank you, Doctor Who, for reigniting that interest. But yeah, it seems like he was working on a lot of stuff. I just assumed mostly he was working on wireless energy, but yeah, now I'm going to have to find out more about him. Because, I mean, I know that he did die penniless and alone, and he raved a lot. He had a lot of madness going on there, but it was interesting how this episode turned that into, well, no, he was really listening to aliens.
Like you do, right?
Right, of course.
Now, I will say the Doctor sure loves using her sonic screwdriver, doesn't she?
Oh, absolutely.
Not only because she built it, what she say, with some spoons or things, but she uses that a lot. It's like a magic wand. And I'm just kind of hoping that maybe we can go a couple of episodes without the sonic screwdriver making an appearance. But that's just a kind of a minor nitpick. I was just like, wow, there it is again.
Yeah, I really enjoy your Sonic, and I love it as a piece of technology. I love what it's supposed to do. I love everything about the Sonic screwdriver. Well, everything that the Sonic screwdriver has become, I should say. But that being said, yeah, it's like find another way to deliver that information to us. Not such a quick and easy plot device.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One of the big unanswered questions, or basically it's more of a theory. What if Edison and Tesla actually remembered their time that they spent with the doctor and the fam and the friends? I mean, what if more of Tesla's inventions could have been realized in real life, you know, like the death ray and things like that? What if?
Oh yeah, that's a big and wonderful what if to think about, because he did have some crazy ideas, and if he remembered his time with the doctor, I could see those ideas coming to fruition and it being just a whole different world.
Yeah, because I was thinking that there was a lot of liberty with his story that might have been embellished for this episode. You know, there was, you know, when you talk about the space scorpions and things like that. But I was doing some quick reading, and there's links in the Facebook group, and we'll put them in the show notes as well. Listeners provided some great information, and apparently the list of things that he was dreaming of and theorizing about were some crazy things, like a death ray. It's like, can you imagine?
Yeah, it's strange how we know so much about him yet.
Mostly we know about the electricity issues and the car that's named after him.
Right, yeah, but no one really knows about him. We hear his name. We know that he was that inventor that did those things. But he's not famous for those inventions. He's famous for, like, I guess, what he didn't do.
Fair enough.
But, I mean, yeah, they took some liberties in the story, but it was good. It was good. I really enjoyed this a lot better than last week's. But, you know, what I was expecting at some point was a mention of the Master, and we haven't gotten that yet. I think the Master would definitely want to use his TARDIS in order to go back to Nikola Tesla's days. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, if his TARDIS has many of the same powers of the Doctor's TARDIS, and he can go backward and forward in time and space and everything, he could really pick up a few dangerous things, and who knows, maybe he could even convince Nikola Tesla to become one of his companions. That'd be a force to be reckoned with.
Oh, yes, that would be insanely great, I think. Tesla as the Master's assistant?
Just a thought.
Yeah, oh, that's a great thought.
And even though this episode had great pacing and was pretty rich and full of information and great ideas, I don't have many other notes about it. A lot of it is covered by the listeners later on. It's just something that I was engrossed in. I was just watching it and forgetting to take notes because I was like, oh, look at that. Ooh, did he really say that? Oh, that's cool. So just to kind of sum up the episode, I'm going to give this episode 8 out of 10 giant hissing space scorpions ready to rock you like a hurricane. I'm sorry. I had to do that.
That's great. That's great. Well, you know what they say about great minds thinking alike. Hopefully that counts as us. Because I too said 8 out of 10, but I said Warden Cliffs, that will never be, because somehow there's such a bittersweet end to it all, knowing how Tesla ends up.
And I wouldn't be surprised if the Tesla Motor Company got some spare money, because they have lots of it, and decided to try to rebuild it based on Nikola Tesla's original plans. I mean, you know, we're trying to launch Lamborghinis into space and all this stuff. Nothing would surprise me. Nothing at all. But speaking of historical episodes of Doctor Who, posted out on Twitter @DoctorWhoGSM, as well as in our Facebook community group for Don't Blink, How much do you generally enjoy historical stories on Doctor Who? And the choices were, I always love them, I like them when they're done right, or I don't really care much whether they're historical episodes or not. And that last one didn't get any votes at all, at least not yet. 10% voted and said they always love the historicals, and 90% said I like them when they're done right. And I'm glad that's how the votes went. I was worried that there'd be more people voting for not wanting historicals or really caring. Fred made a great comment about the poll, saying the most infamous historical, I think, was the Talons of Wang Chang, which got some historical details right, but then did a bad job of portraying it. So we're with you there. Now, we're going to dig into some more listener feedback right after this important message.
There's a fifth dimension beyond.
Robert, what are you doing?
What do you mean, Daryl? I was creating the promo for The Fifth Dimension, our new Twilight Zone podcast, like you asked me to.
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, what's with that terrible Rod Serling impersonation?
I don't know what you mean. I was just speaking in my normal voice.
Are you sure?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, fine. Try it again.
There's a fifth dimension beyond.
See, you're doing it again.
Maybe you should just do it yourself.
Okay, fine. There's a fifth dimension beyond that which...
Really? Are you kidding me?
What?
That was the worst Rod Serling impersonation I've ever heard.
I wasn't impersonating Rod Serling. I tell you what, let's just do this together, okay?
All right, fine, but you know, but don't screw it up.
Fine, same for you. There's a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man.
Within that dimension is a new podcast from Golden Spiral Media dedicated to the Twilight Zone.
Join me and Robert as we discuss the new series from CBS All Access and the original series we all love so much.
It's called The Fifth Dimension. Subscribe today wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, listeners, please get your thoughts and theories into us every Monday night by 11 p.m. Eastern. Our voicemail number is 304-837-2278. And we can be reached at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. Now, we've got some listener feedback from Samuel Lewis from the Going Through Who podcast.
Hey there, Wayne and Jada. Samuel Lewis here from Going Through Who. That's tscn.tv/GTW for Going Through Who. So, this is probably the last time I'm going to get to comment during this season because college. I mean, college is a good thing, but my schedule means I get to watch these episodes on Tuesdays instead of Mondays, so I'll be late. But at least with this holiday weekend, celebrating a fantastic person who should always be remembered, and former Doctor Who character, I might add, from last season, it's given me the chance to at least comment one more time. So let's do this. And what an episode for me to get to comment on. Nikola Tesla's Night of Terror. First of all, it wins just for best Doctor Who episode title ever. I loved it. But whenever I found out that there was going to be a Nikola Tesla episode this season, and we found out a little bit early, you know, they kind of peppered a couple of things here and there to the public to go, yes, there will be a Tesla episode and stuff like that, you know, get a little bit of hype going. I was waiting for this episode so bad because I love the history between Nikola Tesla and Thomas Edison. Whenever I was a kid, I actually did a report on Thomas Edison. If I kind of had known a bit more about Edison, I probably wouldn't have done a report on him, to be honest, because at the time I had access just to the stuff that... the positive stuff about Edison, let's put it that way. I mean, the internet, whenever I did this report, because I was in elementary school, pretty much hardly was what it was now. So I didn't get the chance to really research and find out. Edison had some nasty points. And I think that's what I love about this episode, is that we have Tesla and Edison in this episode, but they were fair with it, I think. They showed kind of the sides of both of them. I mean, let's put it this way. Tesla was bad at business, and Edison was great at marketing. And that's the reason why we know about Edison way more than we know about Tesla. It's just, that's how it was. And it's interesting how they kind of bring that up in the thing. and work with it without it seeming too preachy, to me at least. I suspect there might be some people that might think this is an allegory for something, but honestly, if you know the history of Tesla and Edison, you go, nah, that tracks. So yeah, I am biased with this because it's one of those times where Doctor Who goes, hey, you, I'm going to make an episode just for you. And that's totally what Doctor Who did for me, was give me a Tesla and Edison episode. Love it. Interesting things. I love how whenever they were getting fired at on the train, I went, wait a second, is that a Silurian weapon? And sure enough, she confirmed. She said, it's a Silurian weapon, but it's not a Silurian firing it, to where my brain immediately went the same direction. I was like, what's someone doing with a Silurian weapon? And then we slowly, bit by bit, find out that it's this race that totally takes all these creations from other people instead of being creative themselves. That is such an interesting idea to me. The ultimate parasite of the universe, to take everyone's inventions and things and cobble them together into just surviving. You know, fairly interesting. And, I mean, heck, we get to see one of Tesla's inventions come to fruition. That never really came to fruition, you know. Made it into a big Tesla coil. That's freaking cool. Various things. Both actors that played both Tesla and Edison were fantastic. Both of them were perfectly cast for the role, in my opinion. I mean, obviously, I don't have much file footage of them, obviously, but in my head, that's how I would see Tesla and Edison. So they fit into the roles that, at least in my head, as a fan of that time period, they fit. I loved seeing the way that they did the two different ways that the two thought, and just the way that they bickered back and forth was brilliant. And then, of course, both of their reactions to the TARDIS were utterly brilliant, with Edison wondering how he could market it and Tesla going, oh, it's insane, to which Edison goes, yeah, I can't figure this out either. You know, so it's, and in the end, they have Tesla and Edison have a little nice moment, which is fantastic. So, yeah, this episode for me was all in all just, well, as Tesla described the TARDIS, fantastic. So, yeah, that, like I said, this is probably my last time this season commenting, so I just wanted to say that keep up the good work, and I look forward to hearing over this coming season what the rest of my Don't Blink community members think about the episodes, because I love hearing different perspectives and viewpoints. And if there's one thing that this community in particular that you guys have built is good for, it's a community that has different viewpoints and views on Doctor Who. We don't all agree, we don't all feel the same way, and that's good. It's awesome. And you know, there's people that totally will buck against my viewpoints, and there's people that I'll totally buck against their viewpoints. But as a community, instead of that tearing us apart like some communities do, it brings us together and makes us actually go, that's an interesting concept. I had never thought of it that way. You know, so keep it up, Don't Blink community, just as a swath. I want to just say to all of us, I love being in this community, and I look forward to the next time I get to comment if things line up. But like I said, if I'm thinking of the schedule correctly, won't be till next season probably. But anyway, keep up the good work, guys, and I'll see you later.
Well, thank you for the compliments and all that you said. That was great, Sam. Samuel, we will miss your listener feedback that we've gotten so accustomed to over these last couple of weeks. But you've got to go back to college, so you succeeded that, buddy. You do what you need to do. But you were right. Yeah. There was so much in this episode that I was pretty stoked about as well. And yes, Martin Luther King Jr. was a character, from Doctor Who. And I think it's great that, that we give that shout out. This episode did have a fantastic title. I don't know if I personally think it's one of the best ever, but it is pretty great. I mean, come on, Nikola Tesla's Night of Terror. I had actually thought it was going to be a little bit scarier or one of the more spooky episodes.
Me too.
Yeah. I mean, it says it right there in the title.
It definitely was eye-catching. It's like, what on earth? If you were not a Doctor Who fan and you're just scrolling through your DVR, what's on at 8 o'clock? What's this? Nikola Tesla's Night of Terror? Gotta check this out.
And hopefully whoever that is enjoyed what they saw and they're going to come back, even if they might have been slightly misled.
Indeed.
But yeah, it was about Tesla and Edison. And Samuel said that he loved that history as well. I think it's going to spark a lot of people into looking into more of what that was about, what the history actually was, things like Tesla's other inventions and what Edison really may have or may have not invented.
Oh, I agree, Jada. I think out of the historicals, at least the recent ones, this one seems to really touch on a story that you would think we would know more about, especially with the popularity of the Tesla cars and the upcoming Tesla truck and all that, that we would glean a little more info about the man who inspired that name for a line of vehicles. So I think this episode did a really good job. Of course, I hope not many people think there really were space scorpions stealing technology. But then again, who are we to know what really happened? Interesting point, Samuel. And by the way, well put. Great comments about the Don't Blink community, and good luck in college. Keep us posted. And if we do have an episode that is going to be unusually late for whatever reason, we'll let you know so you can hopefully have time to get in some feedback. But that was a key point, that there was the use of the Silurian. Is that how it's pronounced? The Silurian weapon?
Yeah, the Silurians.
But they weren't being shot by Solarians. They've been stealing technology all over the universe. What's up with that?
Right. It's really interesting. You know, at first when I saw the little floating sphere with the Tesla or something, I'm not sure what it was called. I only had a chance to watch this once. I thought it was something similar to the Toclophane. You remember those guys?
No, but the floating ball actually kind of reminded me of the first Star Wars movie, A New Hope, with the Luke Skywalker target practicing defense with his lightsaber. But how does it tie into Doctor Who? Where have you seen something like that before?
I think it was just something similar. It was, I think, in David Tennant's run, he had to deal with some creatures that turned out, of course, to not be the Toclophane. But it was just the Master playing his jokes, his tricks. And that's why I was thinking that the Master might show up.
Yeah, he's going to make a dramatic return sometime this season. I just hope we don't have to wait all the way until the season finale, because that man is bonkers as the Master. Can't wait to see him grace the screen again. But, you know, they got to keep us waiting, right, Jada? Got to build the tension.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And I see what they're doing. They're trying not to do what they did with Missy, you know, tacking on some stuff to the end of every episode. So hopefully they'll give us another Master episode somewhere, I guess, mid-season, just to keep us like, oh, yeah, that's right, the Master. That would
be nice.
And give us another chance to check out his acting skills, because we all enjoyed it, but we need to see more before the grand finale, so to speak.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens. I don't want to give away any spoilers for those who may not have even watched the trailer for next week's episode. But all I can say is we're expecting a lot of great feedback with next week's episode of Doctor Who, and lots of things to chat about just from what I saw in the, 15, 20 second trailer. So Stay tuned to be ready, ladies and gentlemen. But first, let's see what listener Jeff Gentry, X-Force 11, had to say.
Hello, Whovians. This is Jeff, X-Force 11, leaving my feedback for the most recent episode. Well, it was good to get back to a better formed episode, less political, and more fun. I really enjoyed this as a classic type who romp with monsters and historical figures. It was really fun, and I hope we get to see more of this soon. I really enjoyed the acting. I thought the characters playing both Edison and Tesla did a good job, and it was good fun. All right, those are my thoughts. X-Force 11 out.
X-Force 11, Jeff Gentry, thank you very much for your feedback and sending that in. Yes, that's the best way to sum up this episode. A classic Doctor Who romp with historical figures and monsters.
Yes, well said, Jeff, well said. But, you know, Jeff was right. We have to mention, because I'm not sure if we have yet, much like Samuel mentioned, that the acting in this episode was great. I mean, we're going to overlook the spider monster that we haven't spoken about with... Anyway, the other actors were great. I really enjoyed Tesla. Somehow he didn't feel like he was portraying Tesla straightforward. When I say straightforward, I'm not sure how Tesla acted, but he gave Tesla a flair, a certain character that was more than just playing a man of his times, you know?
Yeah, I see what you mean. And it was interesting how authentic they went with, you know, even his, what today looks like a kind of unusual hairstyle. But then you look at some of the pictures of Nikola Tesla and he's sporting it. He's really working it. So yeah, the acting, the portrayals, the representations of those two men, very well done. And a little more coming up as we dig into more listener feedback as well. Jada, why don't you, let's see, we heard from Twitter as well. What did we find?
On Twitter, Todd was wondering, so it wasn't made clear in Nikola Tesla's Night of Terror, but the Scythra are definitely related somehow to the Rachnos. I wanted a line implying some kind of recognition when Doctor introduced herself. You know, I just was expecting her to say the Rachnos at some point, but then I realized that the Rachnos were spiders, and these guys are supposed to be scorpion, but yeah, that was way too much similarity between those two species for it to be just
a coincidence.
Yeah.
Especially in their face and the way they would hiss and bare their teeth. Although their teeth are totally different, I will give them that. I did see somebody on Facebook talking about how it's similar to on Star Trek, the differences but similarities at the same time between the Romulans and the Klingons.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
But definitely from the same neighborhood of the universe, I guess, because that was the instant first thing that I thought of when I saw the face of the scorpion queen or leader, whatever you want to call it, was I thought until we saw the full body that it was actually a scorpion. I thought the Rachnos were back. I'm like, oh my, this is going bad. As far as we know how dangerous the Rachnos were when we met them in the David Tennant years. So we don't need them messing around with things again because they almost won. Almost.
Yeah. And not to be any kind of a Debbie Downer, but the costuming for the Rachnos, not the Rachnos, the Scythra Queen really pulled me out of it. I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all.
I'll agree with you there. I didn't know what to think, but compared to the cat creature that helped run the vacation spot under the dome, it's a step up, a couple steps up. But one thing I will say, and again, not giving away spoilers, but what we're getting next week is going to take things to an awesome level. We're going to be talking funny for sure next week. We also got some more thought-provoking theories in the Don't Blink Facebook group. First up, Fred. In Shoreham, New York, near the site of Long Island's ill-fated nuclear power plant, which was built, tested, and then scrapped. But that's a whole nother story. And he links to the whole Wardenclyffe Tower article. I can't believe that thing was actually built. It looked just like on Doctor Who. It was amazing. I had No idea. So be sure to join the Doctor Who Don't Blink Facebook group and check out that. Made a separate post about Tesla's history in New York, and I'm so happy that my home of many years is now part of Doctor Who history. Yeah, I don't blame you. That definitely needs to be there. Got a little confused at the end of the episode when they were trying to alert everyone about the alien ship. Did they get back to the TARDIS and go back to Manhattan? The Wardenclyffe Tower is 70 miles away. You can't see it from Manhattan. I can't even see it from my house 35 miles away. I was happy they didn't make the usual mistake of forgetting how long Long Island is up until that point. Thank you, Fred.
Yeah, we have some more feedback from our group. Again, it's Neil. And Neil loves the scene, "This ain't our first rodeo." "We've never been to a rodeo." "You're not helping, Ryan."
Oh, Graham and Ryan. I love it.
Yes, yes. They're a comic duo of the group now. I guess that's their role. But, you know, Neil also says, "The one linking thread to the season so far is that the threat of making the Earth a dead planet and the Doctor being asked if she had ever seen a dead planet with her response." And note that there was no attempt to mind wipe anyone in this episode. I do wonder if there was an Edison factory disaster at this time, which, quote unquote, explains all the dead workers.
Those are excellent points, Neil. I don't know. And I didn't even catch the fact that yet again, the Doctor's being asked about if she's ever seen a dead planet. No mind wiping. Did it just happen off camera? Maybe they cut that scene to keep the pacing of the episode that you were talking about earlier, Jada. It's interesting.
You know, I had wondered that myself. How are they going to fix this? You know, actually, side note, I thought of, I had a flashback to Torchwood when they'd give everybody those little retcon pills.
Oh, okay. That could be in there.
Yeah. But, I wonder how they do explain. There's lots of dead people and crazy things that happen.
Just file it under Area 51 and call in Mulder and Scully and they'll get things cleaned up. Fred also added, it was perfect that they cast, and forgive me for the pronunciation, Goran Visnjic for the role of Nikola Tesla. He told the Doctor Who website that he studied fellow Croatian Nikola Tesla extensively in school. He also said he's a fan of Doctor Who, but that part could be pandering a little. But maybe he is.
That'd be interesting. He played him so well, maybe he did study him. I mean, I'm sure he did study him. And I commend him for his effort. Neil saw an Edison biography in a store today. They did a good job with Robert Glenister in portraying him. There's a photo in our Facebook group if you want to see it.
Yeah, the likeness is fairly uncanny. It is very well done. Be sure to keep those Doctor Who conversations going in the Don't Blink Facebook group, as well as sharing your own talking points there.
Some of the other excellent conversations happening right now include one of the best memes about the master timeline discussions is posted in the group. There's also an article about actor Bradley Walsh, who plays Graham, recently broke his back in three places.
Yeah, not severely broke his back, but even if you break your back a little bit in three places, that's a bit much. And hopefully Bradley's feeling better because we need more Graham. Check out the other excellent article that Fred posted all about Tesla's history in New York. That's linked in the show notes and in the Facebook group as well.
And also you can follow us on Twitter at Doctor Who GSM, at Wayne Henderson, and at Jada Wilkerson 74. Remember to subscribe to Don't Blink in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. Also, check out all of the links and things to be discussed in the show notes at don'tblinkpodcast.com and in the details area of your podcast player.
And we want to thank you again for joining us on this episode of the Don't Blink podcast. Until next week's episode, please tell all of your friends, whether they are Edisonites or Teslaphiles, all about the Don't Blink podcast. And even if you're holding on to a Tesla coil right now, don't blink. Don't even blink.
Thank you for listening to Don't Blink, a Doctor Who fan podcast, part of the Golden Spiral Media Podcast Network of shows. I'm the Doctor in Utah, and the majestic tale of a madman in a box are used with permission from Silver Screen Records. They are composed by Murray Gold and performed by the BBC National Orchestra of Wales, conducted by Ben Foster. Taken from the original Doctor Who soundtrack, Doctor Who Series 6, available on Silver Screen Records.